Now we're holding on Pehei Omud Beis, the fourth line from the end of the narrow lines. We learned yesterday that we know, of course, if a person injures somebody else, that's the subject of this parak, that he's paying up to Chamisha Devarim, depending how many of them are relevant in a particular case. The last thing we said was that Rava had said that if a person causes another one to become deaf, then he has to pay the entire value that he should have to, that the entire value of the person, we don't just figure the value of the ear, because a deaf person is not really useful for any kind of work. There's a discussion among Achronim whether we're talking about Davka, a deaf mute, or whether we mean just deaf by itself. Anyway, so now in this connection, Boy Rava, Kotas Yode V'loy Amdu. What happens if Reuven chopped off Shimon's hand and Beis Din had not yet evaluated how much Reuven has to pay? Then he broke his foot and they still hadn't gotten to evaluating yet. And then he blinded his eye. And then at the end, he made him deaf. So Mahu, what would be the din? Meaning the question is like this: would we say, since Beis Din had not yet evaluated any of the damages yet up to that point, so all we need is one evaluation, and since the last thing was that he made him deaf, he pays him for his entire value at once, meaning we don't individually figure out how much would he have had to pay for the injury to the hand, how much for the injury to the foot, how much for the injury to the eye, and then how much for his entire person. Do we say, since they hadn't done it yet, we would just figure it all as one lump sum and then say, so we just have to pay him for the value of the injury to his body as a whole. At least when it comes to Nes. Or maybe we have to figure them out individually, and then he's going to have to pay for individually for each one. And the practical difference is, so the difference would come out then, as far as the nezek, fine, you would say the nezek is one thing. In the end, he caused nezek to the entire person. And once he's paying for his entire value, what he would have been worth as an eved, in effect, we're saying that if he deafened him, it's as if he killed him. So therefore, he's paying his entire value. So therefore, fine, we're not saying that he's paying for the individual nezek of each one. But would he have to pay him tsar and boshes individually for each one? So ripui, Rashi points out, he wouldn't be paying because, after all, there was no ripui in between. Shevis, there wouldn't, because now if he's paying the entire nezek for the person, in effect, it's as if he bought the person as an eved, where therefore there's no shevis to talk about anymore. Shevis is only relevant when you're talking about somebody else who's not working for you, who could have done other work and earning money. Now, in effect, it's almost as if you, the mazik, bought the entire nizek's person by having to pay for all of him. So therefore, there's no shevis to be talking about. But what about tsar and what about boshes? So would he have to pay him individually for each one, individually for the hand and for the foot and so on and so forth? Namely, nehi de nezek v'ripui v'shevis to kol chodah v'chodah lo yahavin elay. Granted, we wouldn't pay nezek individually for each one, or ripui individually for each one. Again, nezek not, because he's anyway paying the whole value of the person. We can't make him pay more than the value of the entire person. So therefore, once he's paying for chershoy, for making him deaf, we can't also make him pay for the hand and the foot and so forth. And ripui, again, as Rashi said, there was no healing in between. So there's no ripui to talk about. And shevis, again, there's nothing to talk about, because in effect, by paying the nezek for the entire person, it's as if he bought his entire person. So we understand that he wouldn't be paying for those. Lo yahavin and lei, he wouldn't be paying those. To kiven to kayov le dmei kule kamanda katle drami. Once he's having to pay for the whole thing, it's almost as if he killed him. And he's giving the entire value of the other person. So therefore, obviously you can't make him pay individually nezek for each one of them, and ripui and shevis, as we said. But the question is, tsar boshes mias, but we have to ask, as far as tsar and boshes, dechol chodah v'chodah, yohiv, does he have to pay individually for each one, dehahavalei tsar boshes, because after all, he had an individual tsar for each one of those, for the hand, for the foot, etc., and he had an individual boshes for each one. So do we say that, or do we say that since that since Basedin had not had a chance to evaluate him for each of these things individually, then instead we would just say he pays for one sar and Boshes. So actually now Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's premise that where Rashi is saying you wouldn't pay ripui because there was no healing in between. So Tosfos wonders about that. If we're assuming that sar and boshes conceivably might be separate, why indeed shouldn't we say that ripui should be separate? So Tosfos says maybe in fact the girsa should be that ripui would go together with sar and boshes. So maybe the Gemara is asking that whether he'd have to pay ripui and sar and boshes individually for each of those injuries, or is he just paying the sar and boshes for the last one? And then Tosfos goes on to discuss why indeed what is the Gemara's premise in the question in the first place. So Tosfos learns in the end, Tosfos brings from the Ri, that no, there's no question that he pays Tsar, Boshes, and Ripui individually for everyone. The question is, rather, what if these happen on different days? So Tosfos describes, we're not talking about it happen one after the other. We're talking about they happen on different days. On Sunday, he cut off his foot, his hand, and Loyam Du. On Monday, he broke his leg, and Loyam Du. On Tuesday, he made him deaf. So would we consider as though he did it all at once, so therefore we consider it one big nezek, or would we consider, since they were separate, maybe we should count each one's ripui and sar and boshes separately? But on the other hand, the fact is, either way, in other words, Tosfos learns, unlike Rashi, who says that we're not paying ripui separately for each one, and that sar and boshes, that's the question. The question, rather, Tosfos says, there's no question he is paying sar, boshes, and ripui for each one, but the question is, do we evaluate them all together, and that would come out less, or would we evaluate them separately, and then each one is gonna end up, and then in other words, then the combination of the three of them would end up being more. Anyway, so that's Rava's question. The im timta loymar. Then Rava continues, if you're going to say you would answer that maybe the answer is that yes, since they didn't evaluate him in between, then we would just pay, he just pays all one lump sum together, meaning that he's just paying one sar and ripui for everything according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos, he is paying sar and ripui. They are calculating the fact that there was sar from three different injuries and ripui and boshes from three different injuries, but instead of evaluating them separately, we would evaluate them as though they all happen at once. Anyway, if you're going to say that, then we have to ask, what about Amduhu Mahu? So what about if they did evaluate in between? So on Sunday, he broke his hand. He broke the other guy's, he cut off the other guy's hand, and they went to Basedin that same day, and they figured out what the payments should be. And then on Monday, he broke his leg, same thing, and so forth. And then at the end, he definitely. So Mahu, now you could ask the question, would we say that since they have evaluated him separately, then he has to pay individually for each one? Or maybe since he hadn't paid yet, maybe we would say, maybe he should have to pay him for everything together, and that the Gemara says take. So since we have the rule that goes back to the Gaonim and which the Rishonim use all over the place, that we have a rule when we have a question with Im Tim Tzolomar, then it means the halacha is like that possibility. So the result is that's how we come out. So we come out, in other words, that if in the first situation where they had not done the oimid yet, they had not done the evaluation yet, and then at the end he deafened him, then we would say that he pays him individually, he just pays one lump sum, noisin le dmei kolay. In the second case, where they did do the oimed, they did do the evaluation for each one, then we have, as usual, with teku, where we say we can't force the mazik to pay individually for each one, but as we've learned before, if the nizik has been toifis, then he would be able to get paid from it, and then you have the machlokas, aposkim, what exactly is considered tfisa for this purpose? What is he able to grab a hold of that he would be able to be paid out of? Okay, here's another question. Boy Rabba, Sheves hapoich sosei bedam. What if you have, now Sheves, we said, is a period of time when a person is unable to work. So you have the typical cases, for example, where the other guy injured him, and now for a while he's laid up in bed while he's recovering. As we learned yesterday, you could even have a case of Sheves where, for example, he pushed him into a room and locked the door, and now the guy can't get out and work. So now what about, Rabbi is saying, what if you have a Sheves that actually temporarily makes him worth less? Mahu, what would be the din? So we have to figure out, Hechidami, Kegon Shehi Kohu Al Yod. The case would be, he hit the other guy on the hand, but Samsa, and the hand shriveled and withered because of that. But eventually it is going to heal and it is going to go back to normal. So now, so what do we say in terms of Shevis? Given the sofa lachso lo yohiv lev lemidi, would we say that since it's going to eventually recover and it's eventually going to be normal again, maybe therefore he shouldn't have to pay him at all? He shouldn't have to pay him the value of the hand, the nezek. Oiduma hashtamias afchose. Or after all, for right now, he made him worth less. In the sense, Tosfos says, you have to consider that, first of all, of course, there is the Sheves while he's recovering. So the question is not really so much about paying the Sheves. The question is, in this case, there is a temporary nezek. So the point is, Tosfos says, when you think about it, your average person, now how do we calculate nezek? So we learned before, we figure out how much he would have been worth as an eved beforehand with a healthy hand, for example, versus how much is he worth as an eved now with a missing hand. Well, the question would be, Tosfos says, when you see a person with a shriveled hand, you have no way of knowing, unless you're an expert, whether that hand is eventually going to heal and go back to normal. Therefore, people are likely to undervalue, when such a person is being sold as an eved, they're likely to undervalue it. Therefore, that's Rabba's question. Therefore, should we take that into account, the fact that people would assume that he's undervalued because of that? So therefore, do we have to take that into consideration, and therefore the mazik should have to pay that? Or would we say, no, look, objectively, there's no reason to undervalue him just for the fact that temporarily, while he's laid up and recovering, he's not going to be able to work. Fine, that's Sheves, but we shouldn't have to pay nezek because, after all, there's no actual permanent injury. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to prove from a Mishnah later on in our perek. We'll learn it tomorrow, Bez Hashem. A person hits his father or his mother. Now, we know the Torah says that if a person hits his father or mother, then he's chayav misa. However, the Gemara explains that that's only talking about, we're going to learn a little bit about it on Daf Pezayim. The Gemara talks about it in greater detail in Masechta Sanhedrin, that he's chayav only if he caused them to bleed. So either an open wound there was an open wound, or for example, there was a bruise, and we're going to have an example of such a thing in the Gemara over here. Anyway, the point is, but if he didn't cause bleeding or a bruise, then he's not chayav misa. So therefore, the Mishnah describes that so he hit his father or his mother, but he didn't actually cause them a wound where there's any bleeding. So therefore, there's no chayav misa. So therefore, he's chayav to pay. If he was chayav misa, then we would have kom lebe derabimine. He'd be potter from paying, but there's no kom lebe derabimine in that case. Therefore, he's chayav. And the Mishnah continues, if he injures another person on Yom Kippur, where, again, if he did it on Shabbos, he would be chayav misa based in for a malacha of Shabbos. And by the way, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about that even though normally injuring is a mekalkel, and call a mekalkel and p'turin, usually when a person does a destructive thing on Shabbos, he's potter, unless he's doing the destruction for constructive purpose. For example, soisa amanas livnos, he's destroying a building in order to rebuild another one, in order to rebuild it better or whatever. But over here, the point is, he is actually doing something constructive, namely in the fact that he's hitting the other person in order to calm down his Yetzirah. So it's a wrong thing he's doing, but nevertheless, it can be considered constructive relative to that, and therefore he could be chayav misa for that. So of course, there would be kom lebe derabimineh. But again, on Yom Kippur, where there's no misa space, then there's a maximum is kores, then therefore there's no kom lebe derabimineh. So he hits somebody else and injures him on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayav to pay. So chayav b'kulon. So the Mishnah says he's chayav all chamish advarim. Now let's consider in the case of the parents, haylo osa chabura heichidomi. What's the scenario that we could be talking about where he didn't actually cause them a bruise or a wound, how would that be? Lav kagunchi ko al yodav asofa laxer. Evidently, it would be the kind of case we're talking about where he hit him on the hand and caused the hand to shrivel, but eventually the hand is going to recover and become normal again. Vikotoni chayev bekolon. And the Mishnah says that he's chayev in all five things. So there would be our answer that yes, in that case, he is in fact chayev in nezer. However, the Gemara says Amri, but the Bnei HaYeshiva answered back, not necessarily, because because you could be talking about, for example, that he made his father deaf, but didn't actually cause any bruise or any wound to him. So at least not that we can see. So therefore, we can say so he's deaf. He's not going to become. He's not going to regain his hearing, apparently. So therefore, he's chayev b'chamisha dvarim, but he can't be chayev misa because there was no chabura. Now Tosfos points out, following their shitta before, that the fact is, there is at least, even though it's true that when we said before, when he makes him deaf, he's chayev and dmei kulay, nevertheless, the fact is, he is going to have to pay tsar and boshas and ripui. So, he's not going to be chayiv in five things. He's going to be chayiv in four, technically, because Shevis is not going to come into the picture. But fine, we can still say chayiv b'kolon in the sense that he's chayiv in many different things. But in any case, there we can have a case. He injured his parent. He caused him to become deaf. Nevertheless, he's not chayiv misa because there was no chabura. However, the Gemara says that doesn't work. Doesn't Rabba say that if a person causes his father to become deaf, then he is executed by Beistin, because it's impossible for him to make him deaf without there actually being an injury that causes bleeding. Namely, how did he become deaf? Tipsa de dama nafla leba ordne. It means that a drop of blood came in the ear and caused the parts inside the ear, the organs inside the ear that are responsible for hearing, got damaged. So there was a chabura. So you can't say that we're talking about that he made him deaf, and you're going to say therefore that's the case that the Mishnah is talking about where there's no misa involved and where he's chayev b'chamisha dvarim. So wouldn't that bring us back to our answer that it has to mean the previous answer, that it would mean that he hit his hand and it shriveled up, but eventually it's going to recover, and that would answer Rabba's question. The Gemara says, still not. Ela hochab mayaskinen, because rather we can say, what are we talking about? Kagunsha gilcha. You can say that he shaved his father's head. So obviously that's going to be sofer lachser. It's going to eventually recover. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Gilcha miyadar hader. That's going to grow, the hair is going to grow right back. So that's a hainu boyan. That's exactly the question. That's exactly the case that we're asking about, where he did him a temporary damage, which eventually is going to come back. So if you're going to say that it's talking about he shaved his father's head, you're right, he's not chayiv misa for that. Of course, there's no bleeding involved. But nevertheless, there we'd have our answer. Amri, but the answer, not necessarily, because hochab mayaskinen gwencha socha nosha. Because we're not talking about they shaved him in the sense like he took a razor and shaved off all his hair. Of course, yeah, then it'll grow back. What we mean is the Mishnah could be talking about that following Mishnah that talks about where he injured his father, or his mother, could be talking about where he took nosha, which is a type of chemical, a type of acid or something that causes the hair to fall out and it'll never grow back. Deloy hoder, so it won't grow back. Why would he want to do that is not important. But the fact is, if he did it, as usual, we're not concerned with why he did it. We're just concerned that he did it.
The same thing by Sashumsamraz Yalamachal, when they have to take the pill.
Whatever. Anyway, the point is, so now we have all of the things involved. So there is, in fact, first of all, there's Nezik, of course, because now the guy is worth less in the sense that now before he had hair and therefore he could do certain jobs that involve hair, and now he doesn't. So he's chayiv in Nezik. But now, in other words, let's say if a person wanted to buy a slave, and he would want the slave to look reasonably normal, which means that he has hair, and therefore now he'd buy him for less because of that. So there's your nezik. And we have furthermore,
if someone has like a head or something.
But nevertheless, if a person wants his eved to do, and for example, also it could mean that let's say if he wanted to buy an eved to do field work for him, now he would always have to make sure that the eved has a hat because he wouldn't be able to. So therefore, there's nezik involved.
Why does he have to have a good looking.
He doesn't have to have a good looking. First of all, it depends. If he wants his Evid to serve him in his house, for example, to be a waiter in his house, he wants him to look normal.
Okay, that's different. But if he's going in the field, it doesn't
have the point to is that regardless, you can find it's easy right, enough it's to easy. Find where yeah, the yeah. lack of hair is a nezek. Right. So therefore, the Gemara is not even asking what the nezek is in a lack of hair because that's obvious.
It means lack of hair. It means like
b'chol. Exactly that. But he has no hair. Knew that he has no hair. No, we're talking about his head.
Oh,
on his head. Knew that's what we're talking about. Okay. But let's consider. Tsar, there's also tsar to consider. De isra kautufni bereshe, because now the result is because the nosha was put on his head, therefore now the guy has sores and cracks in his scalp and the skin on his scalp. But savchi mahanu kautufni, and now it hurts him. Now but savchi literally means he screams. So in other words, it hurts him from the fact because the sam itself, because the nosha was so strong that it caused him injuries on his head. So therefore, there's tsar as well. But savchi mahanu kautufni. So he cries out because of those kautufni, because of those injuries. Ripui, then there's also ripui involved, the boy asuri, because now he has to be healed. Now he has sores on his head that he needs now there's sores on his head that he needs to be healed from. Sheves, then we also have to consider the Rambam also phrases it. The Rambam uses the expression "nimsa chosh b'roshan." A guy is possibly going to have a headache from the sam or whatever that was placed on him that was put on his head to remove the hair. Then you have ripui. There's a ripui again. Deboy asuya. He has to be healed. He has to see whether a doctor can do something for him, at least for the sores. Sheves. There's sheves involved. To have a marki beikuvi. There could be that. Let's say, for example, that he would have been able to dance in taverns, in bars. Deboy machve gavne aresha. Namely, as part of his performance, he'd be shaking his head this way and that. And the Rambam phrase is also he'd be shaking his hair like to entertain people, and he'd get some money for that. And now v'loy machli mahani kartufni. Now he can't do that because there are the cracks and sores on his head, and now it hurts his head to shake it every which way. So therefore, he's losing out on shemis. He's losing out where he could have done that minimum wage job, and now he can't even do that.
Yeah, but there is dog going that are bald, and they don't. Care
the fact care. Remains that here somebody, and the same way, there are people who break their leg also. If a person breaks their leg and right, nobody's fault,
but if someone's bald,
the fact really remains that the fact remains there was a nezek done over here. So therefore, we have to talk about it. And boshes, emacha boshes, godo mizan. As far as boshes, there's no greater boshes than that, where now for the rest of his life, he's going to be bald. And yes, there are people who are bald and they manage with it. Nevertheless, it's still an embarrassment that before he had hair and now he doesn't.
So same thing, if this son, come on.
The point remains, in other words, that the point remains that we can establish that there can be a case in that later Mishnah where he is chayav for all chamisha dvarim. Nevertheless, he's not chayav misa because there's no chabura involved. That's what we're out to prove over here, that we can't necessarily prove Rabba's question about he kol al yodiv some of a sefer lachzer, where he injured the other guy's hand and it shriveled and eventually it's going to recover. Does he pay nezek or not? We tried to prove it from that Mishnah. Now we're saying you don't have a solid proof because the case in that Mishnah could be where he put nosha on his father's head. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Umilse de boyle le rabba pshita le abaya lahachkisa ulurova lahachkisa." Now the question that Rabba is asking, this question about where you have a temporary injury, do we pay nezek for that or not? Abaya knows for a fact the answer is one way, and Rava knows for a fact the answer is the other way. In other words, Abaya and Rava also deal with that case, and they both say a definitive thing, unlike Rabba, who phrased it as a question, namely. Because we have that discussion. He hit the other guy on the hand and it shriveled up and eventually it's going to recover. So Abaya says he's going to have to pay sheves gdoila, which means, in other words, the actual value of the hand, nezek, in other words, and sheves ktana, a smaller amount of sheves for the amount of time while he's recovering, whereas the Mishnah said you're paying him only as if he was a watchman of a cucumber patch during that time. The point is, because the Mishnah had said that when, how do we figure sheves in the first place? We said that at the beginning of the parak that we calculate sheves. We consider, since he's already paying for nezek, namely that there's a permanent injury over here, sheves, we consider, even with that permanent injury, he still would have been able to do a certain kind of work where now he can't even do that. Namely, while he's laid up and recovering in bed, he can't even watch a patch of cucumbers to make sure nobody steals from it, which he would have been able to. Even a person without a hand can do that. But now he can't even do that. That's the definition of Shevis.
But if someone has a half a hand, like
that's the definition of Shevis. So therefore, so therefore, Abaya is saying that now, when he injured the guy's hand in a way where now the hand is non-functional for now, but it will be functional again later. So Abaya is saying he has to pay nezek for the hand. And in addition, so that would mean, in other words, that he would pay for that period of time the amount, as Tosfos said before, people are likely to undervalue such a person if they were potentially buying him as an eved. So you would figure with a perfectly healthy looking hand, he would have fetched $1,000 as an eved. Now with a hand that looks to people as though it's permanently shriveled, people don't realize that it's going to recover later, people would buy such an eved maybe for only 800. Therefore, the nezek is defined as 200. Now that's the shevis gdola. In it, we're calling it shevis in the sense because it's not a permanent injury, unlike nezek. But nevertheless, he is paying that. In addition, he's paying shevis ktana in the sense that during that time that it's healing, he can't even do any work at all because he's laid up in bed recovering. So therefore, so Abaya is saying he pays both of those, meaning that Abaya is taking it as a given that he has to pay nezik for that. If it's permanent, then everybody agrees that he does. There's no question. Whereas Rava says that you're paying only the shevis for every day while he's recovering. So therefore, so Rava takes it as a given that he's not paying for the nezik because there's no permanent nezik. So we see that what Rava was asking about, Rava gives as a factual statement that there is no nezik. Abaya says no, as a factual statement there is nezik, where Rava was saying have the question. Okay, fine. The Gemara continues. What we mean, by the way, when we say that he paid when Rava is saying he pay him for shivto shibachol yom v'yom, so Rashi says until he goes back to the way he was before, then you pay him according to, you don't pay him like shomer kishuin, you don't pay him only like a cucumber patch watchman. You pay him for each day the amount of normal work that he could have done during that time. You find out, for example, what's the going rate for laborers in the market, and every day people who are hiring themselves out for work, and you pay him according to that. And Rashi and Gittin phrases it slightly differently. He says you go according to the malacha that he used to do beforehand. Fine. Now, Itmar, now we have another discussion related to that. Hakatea yad evet ivri shachaver. What if a person cuts off the hand of an evet ivri that belongs to a fellow yid? Now, you have to consider that here we're talking about keteya. Here we're not talking about hikoa yadavit samsa, where it's only a temporary injury. Here we're talking about it's gone for good. But the question is, basically, the eved is not going to be an eved forever. He's going to go free after 6 years, or after yovel, if he's an eved nirtza. So what do we do as far as that? An eved ivri, no, a Jewish slave. Abaya omen noisin le shevis gdol la eved v'shevis ktana la rab. So everybody agrees that you're going to have to give nezek and you're going to have to give shevis in this case. But how do we calculate it? Abaya says the shevis gdol la, the nezek goes to the eved, in the sense that the eved himself eventually is going to go free and he's permanently going to have lost his hand. So therefore, you have to pay that amount to the eved himself. That way, in other words, in effect, Tosfos says you have to make him whole. When he leaves his master's employ, he has to have been made whole for the hand that he no longer has. The shevis ktana l'ram. Abaya says the shevis ktana, the lesser amount of shevis, the fact that right now he's laid up and he can't do work at all, that you give to the master. So the master is losing out. Tosfos points out actually that you have to consider it as it is during this time. The master is losing out because, you know, like this with a functional hand, with a hand still there, he would have been able to have him do certain kinds of jobs. Now he can only have him do lesser kinds of jobs. Doesn't matter though. Tosfos says in Kiddushin, when it talks about the Eved Ivri, it says that really you can have the Eved Ivri can be sick for up to 4 years, and not have to even make up for that later on. Only if he was sick for 4 years or more and couldn't do any work at all, then he has to make up the time for his master. But like this, where he's able to do some kind of work, then the master is only losing the shevis ktana. In other words, the point Tosfos is making is like this. Suppose, for example, previously this Eved was able to do field work. Now, and therefore that would be worth, let's say $50 a day. Now, as a result of only having one hand, he can't do that kind of field work anymore. All his master can get out of him from now on is to watch the crops, for example, which is worth a lot less, which is worth only $10 a day, let's say. Nevertheless, the fact remains, even if the Eved had been sick for some other reason, the master couldn't tell him, well, I'm sorry, I expected to get $50 worth of work out of you a day, and I'm only getting $10, therefore I want you to make up more time. We wouldn't say that, only if he couldn't work at all for most of the time he was there, then he would have to make up the time. Therefore, the master is only losing the amount of time, the short amount of time, while he's recovering from the injury, from having his hand chopped off, and therefore that small shevis is being paid to the master, but the big shevis, the fact that he lost his hand, that's being paid to the Eved himself, says Abaya. Rava, I'm going to call you Nosim La'Eved. Rava says, no, you give it all to the Eved, the Lokach Behen Karka. What you do is you use that money to buy some land, v'harav oichol peiros, and meanwhile, until the Eved goes free, the master has the peiros of that property, and eventually, when the Eved goes free, then the property itself goes to the Eved, and therefore he gets his whole payment that way. But that way, in other words, temporarily, meanwhile, the master is getting something out of it. So he's getting some part of the nezik, because after all, he's losing out. Because after all, again, before the Eved was able to do other kinds of work, and now he's not able to. So yeah. Tosfos actually brings a different girsa and prefers a girsa, which also is from Rabbeinu Hananel, that no, Rava is saying, Yinosin akol l'rav, all of it should be given to the master. Unlike Abaya, who said that the Sheves Gdola, the Nezik, would go to the Eved, Rava is saying, according to Tosfos and Girsa, that no, you take all of it and give it to the master, and the master. So then again, you take that money, you take everything that was given to the Rav, and you give it, you buy some karka, which will be kept in escrow, meanwhile, for the Eved, and meanwhile, the master eats payers from it. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's consider, pshita, now it's obvious, piches etzel atzmai, if the injury was one that only harms the Eved, it's a rabbi like piches, it doesn't cause any loss of workability for the master. So, for example, hechidami, an example of that, the paskel reish une oil reish nechire. Let's say, for example, the guy, the mazik, had cut off the tip of his ear or the tip of his nose, so the guy can still do normal work afterwards. And everybody agrees, hakol la'atzmo, then everything, everybody agrees that everything is going to the Eved himself, because the Odin, the master, is not losing anything out from that. But Pichis Eitzel Rabbi, but where the injury causes him to have less of a value to his master, in the sense, in other words, like we said, for example, it was his hand, and now therefore he can't do certain kinds of handwork that he would have been able to do before. That's Plukta Dabai V'Rava. That would be the machlok. That would be where Abaya and Rava have their machlokas. Tosfos deals with the point. What about if it's Pichas Eitzel Rabbi Ve'Eitzel Atzmo? The Tosfos brings that there was a Girsa, Pichas Eitzel Rabbi Ve'Eitzel Atzmo, Loi Pichas, where it caused something that a loss for his master, but not for himself. And an example of that would have to be the Ravid explains would be, let's say he locked up the Eved in a room. So it's not a loss for himself. The Eved himself can't do work during that time, but that's a loss strictly for the master. So the Ravid has such a Girsa. However, Tosfos doesn't like that Girsa. In fact, we don't have it in the Gemara. And then Tosfos explains b'doichak how we would explain it, that yeah, we're talking about he kol al yodiv et samsa, the case that we talked about before, where he hit him on his hand and shriveled up, but it's going to recover before he ever goes free. So it's not really a loss for the Eved himself, because by the time the Eved goes free, his hand will have recovered. The question is only the question is the fact that his master is losing out meanwhile. So then the Gemara is still saying you'd still have the machlokas Abaya and Rava on that. Okay. Next, the Gemara says boshes hakol lefi amivayesh v'amisvayesh. We said when we calculate boshes, by the way, in the Rosh, there's Hagoyis Oshri, there's notes in the Rosh over there as well that bring practical things in Halacha. So the Rosh brings over there a point that you can learn from that also, that, for example, a person rents an animal from somebody else and there was a temporary damage to it, so then he'd be potter because the same thing, Sofer Lachzer. So all we talk about, since the Halacha is like Rava, as it usually is, then the Halacha is you only have Sheves, and when it comes to an animal, there's no Sheves to talk about. So therefore, it would only be a temporary. So therefore, there would be no chiyuv to pay. But Pashtos, I guess the same thing would apply nowadays. If you borrow something from somebody or rent something from somebody or whatever, and there's a temporary damage to it, but eventually that damage gets fixed up. I don't know, an example, I suppose. Yeah,
why can't I just switch it?
If you buy a new one, there's not a hate. But the point is, you may not be required to. An example, I guess, might be, suppose, for example, let's say you borrow or you rent a cell phone from somebody and it gets wet. And you're able to put it in rice or whatever and get it back to normal. So then we would say you're not high of anything because after all, it went back to normal, even though temporarily, in other words, he had a few days when temporarily he couldn't use it, but nevertheless, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Therefore,
you wouldn't have to, because you wouldn't have to pay Shevis, because no Shevis when it comes to such things.
Is there something like amount?
No, that's what we're saying. Shevis with a person. Shevis, you figure out. Pilu Shevis Kishur. We figure out what kind of work he'd be able to do with this condition. Next, we said boishes akolofi amavayish vamispayish. We said when it comes to boishes, boishes is the payment for embarrassment. The person suffered embarrassment for having been injured or for whatever having happened to him. So we said akolofi amavayish vamispayish. So the Mishnah had said he calculated in accordance with the one who caused the embarrassment and the one to whom it was caused. Namely, Rashi had said in the Mishnah, for example, you have, let's say, an Odom Kal goes and embarrasses a person. It's a much greater embarrassment than if it happened from an important person. A simple person goes over in the street and slaps you in the face. It's going to be a much greater humiliation than you would have if, let's say, an important Rav went and slapped you in the face. Let's say you'd be embarrassed as well. But after all, it would be less of an embarrassment because you'd understand, maybe you. When a simple person did it versus when an important person did it. And then you also have to consider the misbayish. Because you would figure, I must have done something to deserve it, let's say. So whatever. But you also have to consider the misbayish. You also have to consider the one who was embarrassed. Where again, a person is going to feel more of an embarrassment from this kind of thing. So the Mishnah had said you go like this. Well, the Gemara says, Mani Masnissin, who is our Mishnah like? Loira Meir Veloira Behoda, Elur of Shimon. Apparently, our Mishnah does not go according to the Meir or according to the Yehuda. And usually, we would prefer to. A Stam Mishnah is usually like the Meir, and the Meir is Bar Plugta as the Yehuda. But here, we have to say that our Mishnah of necessity is like Reb Shimon. Namely, like this, the Tanan, or the Tanya, really. We learn it later on in the Perek. V'chulon, in all cases of boishes, royin oisan kilo and bnei chorin, we always have to consider the person who suffered the boishes and actually the Ravid explains it means the mevayish and the misbayish. The Braisa first says, Reb Meir says, you always consider kilo and bnei chorin the sheyodum and chsein. You always have to consider as though they were free rich people who lost their wealth. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains like this. If you have a poor person causes boishes, then a poor person received boishes. If a poor person was made to suffer boishes, you're not going to say, well, he's poor, he doesn't feel much embarrassment anyway, because being poor itself is a big humiliation for him. Therefore, you should go easier on the mazik. No, you don't say that. And if he's rich, the Reb Meir is saying, you don't go according to how rich he is, because then the guy's going to say, I'm rich, I'm not willing to suffer boishes unless you pay me $1 million, and then you're not going to make the other guy paying pay $1 million. So you wouldn't go when it comes to the misbayish. You would always consider you would always treat them as though they were rich people who just lost their wealth. Tosva says a little bit differently. The point is, sometimes you have that you have rich people who you have, for example, a poor person who became poor. So you have some rich people who don't feel any more boishes than that. And an aniyim, the same thing. You don't always have. It's hard to tell. In other words, Reb Meir is saying which one is going to feel the greater or lesser embarrassment. So therefore, Reb Meir is saying you always use a fixed value. And the Ravid adds that it means also as far as the Mazik himself, you don't consider his social status or whatever. You always consider a fixed amount. And after all, because you have to consider Shehein b'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. After all Jewish people are descended from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So therefore, we're not going to start making distinctions between rich and poor and social status and so forth. And the Ravid also adds, because they're Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we don't want to be too machmer on them. Therefore, even the mazik we're going to be make on him, even if he's very rich, or just the opposite, even if he's an Adam Kal, he's a very degraded person, we're not going to make him pay more, as we said in the Mishnah. So therefore, our Mishnah is clearly not like that.
What about like a ger or something?
What about a ger? Your person is over. Do. If he humiliates a ger, he's over on more mitzvahs. But we're not talking about what he's over on. We're talking about what he has to pay.
Does he have to pay less or more?
No, pointed at May or not. Pointed at Gerim also Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. They're not biologically descended from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but Beruchnius they are. So it's the same. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says no. A gadol lefi gadlo, v'ha katan lefi katan. No, a gadol you go according to his greatness, and a katan according to his smallness. Now we're going to see when we say gadol and katan, do we mean greatness in wealth or in social status or whatever, or do we mean gadol and katan, meaning a child or an adult? We'll see that in the Gemara soon. And Reb Shimon says, no, Ashirim Royan Oisan Kilem Bnei Chodim Shiyodim Nechseim. When you have a rich person, then yeah, it's true. You can't figure out how much in his current status you should pay him boshes, because then, yeah, he might demand, let's say, $1 million. So instead, you figure as though he was Bnei Chorin Shiyodim Nechseim, as though he was a rich person who had suffered a loss of his riches and now is poor, so he still has a certain dignity that he had before, but nevertheless, he's still not going to be demanding $1 million. But Aniyim, as far as poor people, Kipchusin Shebehen, then Rav Shimon says, you go according to the lowest level of Aniyim. So either way, it comes out of Kula, mazik that you're paying less. So now we have to figure out. So now among those three opinions, mani hashta. So now that we have these three opinions, which one fits best with our Mishnah? Reb Meir, if you're going to say that it's like Reb Meir, can't. Masnis and Katonia, Kolofi, Amavayish, Vamisbayish. Our Mishnah had said that it all goes according to the individual status of the Mavayish and Misbayish, Reb Meir, Kolobahadi, Adoninu, whereas Reb Meir is putting everybody on equal level. So clearly, our Mishnah is not like Reb Meir. The Reb Yehuda, if you're going to say it's like Reb Yehuda, doesn't work because Masnis and Katani, the next Mishnah continues, Hamavayish as a sumachayev, that if a person causes embarrassment to a blind person, he's chayev, the ilu Rabbi Yehuda oimab suma in le boshes, whereas we're going to learn on Omid Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no boshes for a blind person. We're going to see later on whether that means if a blind person caused boshes or received boshes, but in any case, the Mishnah that says that Hamavayish as a suma is clearly arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. We'll get to that later. We'll get to the Kereshet Vekotin is on that page. Wait. So Ella Lav Reb Shimon. Evidently, wouldn't it have to be that our Mishnah, therefore, is like Reb Shimon? So, yeah. But the Gemara says, maybe not necessarily. I feel a tamer of Yehuda. You could even say that our Mishnah goes like Reb Yehuda. He Omer Reb Yehuda, Summa in Le Boshes, L'mishkamine. Maybe Reb Yehuda, when he says a Summa, a blind person has no Boshes, we mean that if he caused Boshes to somebody else, you wouldn't make him pay. So if he's the Mavayish, Avol Meisvale, Yavinimle, but to give him, maybe we would. Maybe the Mishnah, when it says, Mavayish as Summa, a person causes embarrassment to a Summa, so maybe Reb Yehuda would agree with that. He would only disagree and say that a Summa doesn't pay Boshes, as we'll learn on Omer Beis, why Reb Yehuda would say such a thing.
Doesn't it say something like the
Teretanet
put a rocket
for
like a
bind? That's something else. That's nothing. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Bahamid Katoni Seif Amavayash has had Yoshin Chayev, Yoshin Shabiyash Potter. What do you mean, though? The next Mishnah on Omid Beis says if a person causes boshes to a person who's sleeping, then he's Chayev. But the flip side, if a person who's sleeping causes boshes to somebody who's awake, then he's potter, because boshes, a person is chayev only if he had intention to cause boshes, or at least to cause nezek, and a sleeping person doesn't. V'loy katoni suma shabiyish potter. Now, the Mishnah does not mention those two things by a blind person. It just says, hamavayish is a suma chayev. It does not say, on the other hand, a suma shabiyish potter. Niklal d'loy shenahochi v'loy shenahochi. The implication is, the Mishnah is saying, either way, you're chayev. A blind person is chayev, whether he's the mavayish or whether he's the misbayish, which is clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda, because we have on Omid Beis that Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that at least that a summa is potter from paying boshes. So you're right. Machvarten masnisin Reb Shimon. So it's clear that we have to say our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon. Okay. Now the Gemara says, man tona lahoda tona rabbanon. Fine. What about the following Braisa? Which Tana would be the author of the following Braisa? Braise says, Niskavin Leviash Cotton Rear Sagodo, if a person intended to cause boshes to a cotton, and we're gonna see soon whether cotton means a child or whether it means a poor person, or biash sagodol, and instead he caused boshes to a godol. Again, godol can mean an adult, or it can mean a greater person, a more important person, or whatever. We'll see soon. What he has to do is, since he didn't intend to cause boshes to the godol, therefore, you can't make him pay the full value of the boshes of the gadol, but you can make him pay. He intended to cause boshes to the cotton. Therefore, you make him pay the value that he would have had to pay had it been the cotton who received that boshes. Similarly, the vayishas eved or biyishas ben chorin, if he intended to cause boshes to an eved knani, that is, and instead he caused boshes to a regular free yid, same thing, noisim le ben chorin to make boshes shel eved. So he has to pay the ben chorin, the free yid, the amount that he would have had to pay as boshes to an eved. So now, if we're saying that, money, so who is this braisa like? Loda meir, veloda behoda, veloda b'shimon. It seems to not work out like any of the three of them. So who is it like? Namely, the problem is, because kasaka daidach, for purposes of the question, the Gemara is assuming, the Makshan who asked the question, figured cotton means cotton benachosim, godol benachosim. That the words cotton and godol refer to their financial status. So now the problem is the braisa doesn't work like any of the three of them. Reb Meir, as we said in the previous braisa, says that you consider all Jews as though they're bnei churin sheyodim nechseim, as though they're formerly rich people who are now poor. The Reb Yehuda ha'omer ein la'avodim boshes. Reb Yehuda says, we're going to have later on Daf Tezayin, he holds the whole concept of boshes does not apply to avodim knanim, as we'll discuss in the Gemara there why he would say that. The Eid of Shimon, and if it went like Reb Shimon, Ha'omar, doesn't Reb Shimon say, Niskaven Levi Shaseh, or Via Shaseh Potter, Reb Shimon says that if a person intended to cause boshes to one person and cause boshes to a different person, he would be Potter completely. Now, Rashi points out, we never actually find Reb Shimon saying that in so many words. However, we do have Reb Shimon saying in a case of Misa, we have a case, a person was a Yid was intending to kill Reuben, and instead he killed Shimon. Is he chayav misa for the fact that he killed Shimon? Well, it doesn't matter what they are or who they are. As usual, we don't care about their motivations. The fact is, he intended to kill Reuben, and there were Adam Basra, the whole 9 yards. Instead, he threw a rock intending to hit Reuben, and instead he hit Shimon. So now the question is he chayav misa? The Chachamim say yes, because he killed another Yid, and you have Eidim Vahasra, and you have everything you need. Reb Shimon says no. Reb Shimon learns from Psukim that no, Niskaven Laharik Haseh V'Horik Haseh Potter. If he intended to kill one person, and instead killed the other person, he would be Potter. Well, by analogy, says Rashi, the Gemara is understanding that by the same token, Reb Shimon is going to say that if he intended to cause boshes to one person and cause boshes to another person, he will be Potter. So therefore, so in this case, if we intended to cause boshes to a cotton and instead caused to a gadol, by analogy, Reb Shimon would say he's potter. So this braisa that we just quoted doesn't work out like any of these three tanoim. So who is it like? My timer, and why is that? Kik tola, because Reb Shimon would compare it to the case of killing somebody. Mak tola adam iskavenle. Just like when it comes to killing, Reb Shimon holds he's chayav misa only if he intended to kill the person that he ended up killing. The pasuk describes it that he lay in wait for him, he ambushed him, and he stood up against him, meaning Reb Shimon learns from those words ad she iskaven loy, that it means only if he intended to kill the person that he actually killed. Boshes nami adim chaven loy, Reb Shimon would say by the same token, boshes, that he's only chayev only if he caused boshes to the one that he intended to, namely, because where do we learn the whole concept of paying boshes? Dichtiv, because you have a posik with shocha yodav achzika b'mavushal. A posik describes a case where two men are fighting, and the wife of one of them comes and tries to intervene in the fight, and she grabs a hold of the guy, of the other guy, by mavushal, by his private parts, and the posik continues, katsoy says kappa, you chop off your hand, which we understand that to mean, primarily, it doesn't mean chopping off her hand, primarily it means making her pay money. It has also the meaning. It does have the secondary meaning that there can be a case where you chop off her hand, namely where she's endangering his life. She's in danger of ripping off a part of him, which is going to cause him to bleed to death. Then if there's no other way to prevent that, then you can chop off her hand. But primarily that pasuk is talking about the concept of boshes. That is where we learn the concept of paying for boshes. Well, then, Reb Shimon would say the same way. Ad she iskaven loy. Since it says v'sholcha yodav achzikim mevushav, she stretches out her hands and grabs a hold of his private parts. But mevushav means ad she iskaven loy. Only if he has kavana for the particular person that he intended. In fact, Tosfos says, what would the Chachamim do with that word, b'mavoshav? And the answer is evidently they use it for some other drasha. But we don't know what drasha that is, but whatever. The point is they argue with Reb Shimon. The point being, though, that Reb Shimon clearly holds that niskaven levayish hazeh or biyish hazeh, then he's potter. So then our braisa that talked about a case where he's mevayish one person instead of where he intended to be mevayish somebody else is not like Reb Shimon. Meanwhile, we said it's not like Reb Meir or Reb Yehuda either. So who is it like? And the answer is la'olam Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is we can say that the Braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda because v'chika omer Rabbi Yehuda ein la'avodim boshes. When Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no boshes of avodim, he means l'meisva lohu. He means as far as actually paying them boshes, you don't pay, but avolameisham shaminin bahu. But we do evaluate how much boshes we would have to pay them, how much we would have to pay them to undergo this kind of boshes, and that's the amount we give to the Ben Choren, meaning, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda would say. So we figure out like this. Practically speaking, if Reuven goes and causes boshes directly to an Eved, he's not paying. But if he intended to cause boshes to the Eved, where he would have been potter, and instead he causes boshes to Shimon, instead what we're going to do is we're going to figure out, you, Eved, how much would he have been willing to take to suffer that kind of boshes? Then we take that amount and we tell Reuven, pay Shimon that amount.
Is that ever meaning?
An Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani. So the Braisa could work out like Rabbi Yehuda.
Could you just give this Eved to this
guy? No, there's no reason to. Because the Eved belongs to somebody else. You're talking about Reuven intended to be Mavayish Levi's Eved, and instead he was Mavayish Shimon. Why would you take the Eved away from Levi? It was a killing. Mavayish. He was going to embarrass him.
Oh,
it was embarrassing.
Oh, okay.
The Iboyis Ema Afilo Temer Reb Meir, or you could say the Braisa even goes like Reb Meir. You're saying Reb Meir holds, we said before that Reb Meir says you always evaluate according to B'nai Chodin Shiyodim and Chseyen, because Mi Sabret Godo Godo Ben Chosim Kotten Kotten Ben Chosim, you're thinking that you, that Godo and Kotten over here meaning in wealth, or in social status? No, like Godo Godo Mamish for Kotten Kotten Mamish. No, Godo and Kotten mean an adult and a child. So therefore, so it means. In other words, so the Braisa is saying he intended to be Mavayish a child, instead he's Mavayish an adult. So we figure out what would be the proper amount of boshes for the child, and we have him pay it to the adult. The Gemara asks for Kotten by boshes. Who is a Kotten capable of feeling that kind of boshes? He doesn't have das yet. So, in fact, the Ravid says, look, kids all the time do if things that would embarrass them. If they look back on it as an adult, they would be highly embarrassed by things they did as a kid. So wait. The answer is Ain, yes. Kid Omer a Papa, as we have a few times on Omer Beis where a Papa is going to say, you have a child who's old enough where when you mention to him something that previously happened with him that would embarrass him. So in other words, you can have a child who's, let's say, 10, 11 years old. If you remind him of something that happened when he was 7 or 8, then he will feel that embarrassment now all over again when he's 10 or 11.
You could say when he's a cotton, he gets embarrassed, and when he gets bar mitzvah over...
No, we're talking about still he's a cotton. So hochanami, the same thing. In fact, the Ravid teaches out. A child may not mind so much. He himself does things that are embarrassing. Okay, it's he himself. But other people cause him embarrassment, he will feel it. Hochanami, the same thing over here. We're talking about a child who's old enough to feel that kind of embarrassment where if they remind him of something that happened previously. So therefore, yes, you would have to pay him the kind of boshes that would be the appropriate amount of boshes. And therefore, that's what we're saying, that if somebody intended. So let's say, in other words, so we're talking, somebody intended to slap an 11-year-old, let's say, and instead he goes and slaps a 13-year-old who's nearby. So you would pay the 13-year-old the value of what he would have paid to the 11-year-old for his boshes.
There's no embarrassment,
it's just like they slapped him. So even a slight, same or whatever. So the earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara talks about very early. You can even have, for example, later on in the Perek, we're going to have an example where a person takes a piece of paper and then hits somebody with it. Obviously, there's no pain or anything in that, but there is embarrassment. There's still, he's doing something degrading. He's doing something degrading to the other person.
If he like shouts, doesn't cause any harm. Just, like,
if he just shouts, then that's Hamavis Chaver Potamidun, and that was dealt with earlier in the Masechta. He was talking about what he actually did something to you.
Okay.
Let's continue. The Mishnah says, "Hamavayish hasa'orum." If a person causes busha, a person causes embarrassment to somebody who's undressed, we're going to see in the Gemara what we're talking about. Or if he causes embarrassment to somebody who's blind, or he causes embarrassment to somebody who's sleeping, and the guy realizes it when he wakes up, in other words. Chayiv, in all those cases, the guy is chayiv and boshes. On the other hand, the yoshin should be ish potter, as we said before, a person who's sleeping, and he causes boshes to somebody else, he's potter because he had no das to cause the boshes. What about nafal min hagag, if a person falls off a roof, v'hiziku biyish, and he caused injury to somebody else and caused him embarrassment. So for example, he fell down on somebody else and injured him, and there's boshes involved in that as well. Chayev al nezek, potter al boshes, he'll be chayev for the nezek and for the other things as well, but he'll be potter out for the boshes, ad shehem iskaven, unless he intended, now it doesn't have to be, by the way, so much that he intended to cause boshes. We learned earlier in the Masechta, at the end of the second parak, you could have where he intended to cause the nezek and the boshes came about incidentally. So in other words, we're talking about, there can be a case where he falls off the roof. He doesn't intend to fall on the other person b'chlal, but nevertheless, Adam Mu'ad La'olam, therefore he's chayiv in the four things. However, only if he intended to land on the other guy, so now he didn't necessarily intend to cause boshes, but he did intend to land on the other person, that makes him chayiv for boshes as well.
If he had intention to hurt this person, but he didn't realize that he was going to do it during sleep, does that count?
He went to sleep in such
he
a way.
He wanted to hurt this person, but he slept.
But he's sleeping, and then he slept, and he but still, while he's sleeping, sleeping. No, sleeping. In other words, he's sleeping, and let's say he kicks somebody or whatever.
So we're going to discuss now.
So the Gemara says, first of all, Tonan Abonim, Bishay Orum Chayev. If a person caused embarrassment to somebody else when he's undressed, he's Chayev. But we have to consider, Bishay Orum or Bishay Lobosh, there's obviously a big difference between doing that when he's undressed, where there's less boshes involved than when he was clothed. Similarly, Bishay Bebeis HaMerchatz Chayev. Similarly, if he caused boshes to the other person in the bathhouse, where people are standing around undressed, chayev, so he'd also be chayev, but again, but it's not comparable doing it there versus doing it in the street. So first, let's figure, omamar, bishe orum chayev. We're saying if he embarrassed him while he's undressed, he's chayev. Question is, orum ben bar boshes, who is a person who's undressed capable of boshes? In other words, Rashi understands that we're talking about poshet, this is a person who's walking around in the street undressed. So obviously, he's not the kind of person, wait. So we're talking about, in other words, Rashi understands, we're talking about Ein Machbid Leilach Orim B'fnei B'nei Adam. This is a person who doesn't mind walking around naked in front of people. So obviously, such a person is not really capable of boshes. So what kind of boshes are you even talking about?
When you mean naked, you mean just like shirt on, or you mean the whole
thing? I mean either way, I don't know. Whatever. Omer HaPapa, my Orum. Sometimes the word Orum does mean underdressed, it's true, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Omer HaPapa, my Orum. No, what do you mean over here, he's undressed? Not that he did it deliberately. Also zika kalchinu lamone. Suppose, for example, a wind came and lifted up his clothing. Keep in mind, people's clothing in those times was basically a long shirt or a long robe. It could be tight, but it didn't necessarily have to be. It could be loose enough on the person that a gust of wind could blow it up, and then his body is exposed or mostly exposed. But also who dalinu tfe. Now this other guy came and picked up the clothing still further ubiyeshe, and therefore he caused him more boshes than he had before. So now the question is he chayev? So now the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying that yes, but nevertheless not as much as he would have been if he completely started the whole process. Now that's according to Rashi. Tosfos wonders, though, in that case, why is the Gemara only asking on the Braisa? Shouldn't the question be on the Mishnah as well? And so Tosfos explains that no. The Mishnah, obviously, there could be a boshes that applies even a person who's undressed. For example, even let's say a person who's walking around undressed. So obviously, you can still have a person spits at him, a person slaps him or whatever. Sure, he would be chayim. Rather, what it is that but the Braisa, the way the Braisa phrases it, Bisha Orum Chayev, the Eni Chayev, Bisha Orum, Bisha Logosh, it sounds like we're talking about that he was Mevayashim by undressing. So the question is, so the guy's already undressed. How is he undressing him more? And so the answer is that he's partially undressed in the sense because he's half dressed in the sense because the wind picked up his clothing and now this guy went and picked it up more. So therefore, that's why the question is on the Braisa rather than on the Mishnah.
Well, because someone's not dressed, is dressed, sorry, and then he makes him undressed and falls down his pants.
That's what we're talking about. That's it. That would be classic Moshe. Yeah.
Right.
What about the Gemara continues? Bishai Beis HaMerchatz Chayev. What about we're saying he caused him boshes in the bathhouse in Chayev? What do you mean Beis HaMerchatz Boshes? Who? In the bathhouse, how is there boshes possible? Again, according to Rashi, the question is, there's no boshes there b'chlal because everybody's undressed. According to Tosfos, the question is specifically the kind of boshes that involves taking off his clothes. He's already got his clothes off. So what boshes would there be? And the answer is, Amar Papa Shabishai Agav HaNahar. We're talking about that he embarrassed him by the bank of the river. So, for example, you'd be talking about, let's say that he rolled up his clothing in order to wash his feet in the river, and now the other guy went and picked up the clothing more and exposed more of his body. So again, as far as Tosfos is concerned, same thing. We mean, in other words, that he embarrassed him by the bank of the river, where some people are dressed, some people are undressed or whatever. So therefore there could be, there's less boshes there than there would be in the street, but nevertheless there is boshes.
Is it also talking about like some embarrassing because how he looks, like his body is?
No, we're not talking about saying something to him. Boshes involves an action. Boshes involves an action.
That he did to a person,
yeah.
But saying even if he says words and he...
No, that's, yeah, we're not... No. Well, that he's also to do that, but then we're not talking about that. Boshes involves an action of some kind. Okay. Boy Rab Abba Bamemel. Bisha Yoshin Umes. What happens if Reuven caused Boshes to Shimon, for example, let's say uncovering his, picking up his clothing or whatever, and while he was sleeping, and then Shimon died, never having woken up and never having discovered the Boshes? So, Mahu, what would be the din? So the Gemara says, "My coming by like what's Rav Abba Mamel's question exactly?" The point of the question is like this: Mishum kisufa. Do we say the point of paying boshes is because of the mishum kisufa? It's because of the embarrassment the other guy suffered. Rashi uses the expression kisufa chafias ponim, like now the guy has to hide his face in shame. Well. In this case, v'hom misle. Here the guy's dead. V'less like kisufa, so he never suffered that embarrassment. Or maybe it's because of the zilzal that he treated the other guy contemptuously in front of other people. So he may not know about it, but other people who were there would have been able to see it. Other people who were there would have seen that he pulled his pants down or whatever. And the fact is he did do that zilzal. So maybe therefore he should be chayim.
When someone's going to check on this person, if he's live or not, they see that he's not sleeping and they uncover the blanket.
We're not talking about, in other words, where they have to check whether he's dead or not. We're talking about that somebody came and did it maliciously in order to embarrass him. Okay. But now the guy died and never woke up and never.
Other people see that he's naked.
That's the question. That's exactly the question. Other people see, so maybe that's a reason to be mechayev. But on the other hand, he never had that embarrassment. So maybe therefore he should be potter. That's exactly the question. That's exactly the question. In fact, the Tosfos Yom Tov talks about you could have a case also. What if he uncovered him and then recovered him before he ever woke up? Would he have a similar question? So Achronim talk about that. That might be different because the fact is, eventually he wakes up. People can tell him what happened, as opposed to nobody over here can ever tell him because he's dead. So it's not necessarily the same situation.
Or in any other cases that we have, what if he undresses him and then quickly.
Right. So in a normal case, when the guy's awake, there's no question he's chayav for boshes. But
imagine by mistake, you know, Gus wouldn't happen.
By mistake. So we're saying only he's chayav for boshes, only if he intended to. No, we're saying. Okay. So the Gemara says Toshma. Reb Meir Omer. So Reb Meir says cheresh v'katan yesh lahen boshes. Reb Meir says that now in the next Mishnah we're going to talk about a cheresh shoyt v'katan. But Reb Meir says, when it comes to boshes, a cheresh and a cotton, there is boshes, shoyta ain't like boshes. Whereas by a shoyta, there's no such thing as boshes. Meaning that if somebody causes him boshes, that if somebody does something to him, let's say uncovering his body or whatever, then he would be potter. So let's figure out. If you say that the reason why the other guy has to pay is because of zilusa, because he treated the other guy disrespectfully, cotton. Then that explains why he's paying a cotton, because there can also be that he's treating a cotton disrespectfully. But if you say it's because of embarrassment, cotton by boshes, who is a cotton capable of boshes? Like we learned on Amud Aleph, on the face of it, not. So wait, we're going to have what Rapapa said before, but we're going to have it again. So therefore, so doesn't that show that it's mishum zilusa? And in that case, yes, when the person died in his sleep, you'd also be chayim mishum zilusa. But the Gemara says not necessarily. Elamai mishum zilusa. So what are you telling me? The problem is the zilusa, the fact that he treated the other person disrespectfully. Right. Then afilu shoyta nami. Then why shouldn't he be chayav for a shoyta as well? Ami, the answer, that's not a proof. Because shoita in lacha boshes gdola mizu, because there's no greater boshes than being a shoita. So therefore, you can't say that there should be any boshes that should have to be paid on top of that. It would be the equivalent. In other words, it would be the equivalent, basically, like in the example we had before with the wind. Imagine the wind completely ripped off his clothes and left him naked in the street. So then there's really no more boshes that anybody else could do to him that would be any greater than that. So here, you could say you potter for a shoita, push it because there's no greater zilzo than you could do to him than what he's already suffering from. But the Gemara says,
he doesn't realize,
but yeah. The point is, mikol makom nifshet mina, mishum zilosahu, still, we should be able to show from the case of the cotton, we should be able to show nifshet mina, mishum zilosahu, like we said, that you can show that the problem is not the kisufa, the embarrassment, but rather zilusa, the fact that you acted to him in a disrespectful way, dimishum kisufa, cotton bar kisufa, who, because like we said, a child on the face of it is not capable of suffering kisufa, and the answer is no, kida omer a papa. Just like Rapapa said, we quoted before, and the Gemara is going to bring the main place where Rapapa said it later. You're talking about a child who's old enough to understand what embarrassment is and to be embarrassed about things that happened in his past. Hachanami. So the same thing over here. We can be talking about a child who's old enough to understand what that is. So there's no proof from that. When you're talking about a child who's old enough to understand such things, where then you have to pay him boshes, that could be mishum zilusa, but it could equally well be mishum kisupa. At a child that age, both things apply. Whereas again, by bisha yoshinu mes, you only have the one thing. So the question is still open.
We're talking about like older than 9 years old? Or
we're talking about how the Gemara is not giving a fixed amount. Pastors, it depends on the kid's capabilities. Yeah. Another way you can look at it, Rapapa Amar, Hochid Kamabayle. So far we had Rab Zvid explaining the two sides of Rab Abba Bar Memel's question. Again, Rab Abba Bar Memel asked, Bisha Yoshinu Mes Mahu, that if the guy never woke up and never discovered the boshes. So one way we can understand, as Rab Zvid said, is do we look at the boshes? Is it fundamentally the payment is Mishum Kisufa or Mishum Zilusa? Now, Rapapa is saying another way of looking at it,
can we also say this if the guy went into a coma?
Same thing. Well, a coma, you could say eventually. He might recover from it. Yeah, whatever. Rapapa, I'm a hawker coming by. Rapapa says you can ask, the point of Rab Abba Bar Memel's question can be looked at like this. Mishum kisufa di dehu. You can look at it, is it, for sure, let's say Rapapa is going to say it's because of embarrassment. But you can look at it. Is it his own embarrassment? Well, he's dead and he never knows about the embarrassment. You can also consider his family suffers embarrassment. So now they know about it. So therefore, that could be another way of explaining the two possibilities, the two sides of Rab Abba Bar Memel's question. Well, again, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to prove from the same Brai says before. Cheresh for cotton, yesh le boshes, shoita in le boshes. We said that there is boshes for a cheresh and cotton, but not for a shoita. So again, like we said before, iyam b'shleim b'shem boshes mishpacha, if you're going to say it's because of embarrassment to the family, hainu katani cotton, then that explains the child. The child himself may be too little to know any boshes, but the family will be embarrassed on his behalf. Eli, I'm from Kisufa Didei, but if you're going to say it's because of his own embarrassment, cotton by Boshesu, is a child capable of suffering Boshes? Because he himself, that he himself, child, plays in the mud, and a child runs around with the... whatever it is, whether it's undressed. Yeah, whatever, but a child, Bechlal, has no self-dignity. A little kid, 4 or 5 years old. Whatever, that's the point, but the parents will be embarrassed. So the Gemara says, "El amai mishum boshes de bnei mishpacha." So you're going to say that you're going to answer the question that it is definitely because of the embarrassment of the family. Well, then I feel a shoita nami. Wouldn't you be chayiv in the case of a shoita as well? And the answer is, like we said before, shoita ein lachal boshes gzor lemizu. You could argue there's no greater embarrassment than a shoita anyhow. The family is already humiliated enough from having a shoita in their family, so they're not going to. No, so now there can't really be any more boshes. So therefore, mikol makom nifshet mina d'bishum boshes mishpacha. So wouldn't that show that it is because of boshes mishpacha? So fine, when it comes to a shoita, we say there's no boshes mishpacha because they already have the maximum boshes anyway. But d'imishum kisufa, katan b'kisufa, who, if it was because of his own embarrassment, then on the face of it, a child is not capable of that embarrassment. And here's where the papa originally said his statement to answer his own question. Omer a papa ain, yes, d'michlu l'meyom michlam. Because you could be talking about a child who's old enough to suffer embarrassment. So there's no proof from that case of the case of Bisha Yoshin Omes. So if we understand Rav Abba Bar Memel's question, as our Papa does, that it's dependent on whether it's the, basically his own embarrassment or his family's embarrassment by a Bisha Yoshin Omes, you have no answer to that, because you can't show, on the one hand, he never suffers the embarrassment, but his family does. But with a cotton, as long as the cotton is old enough to suffer embarrassment, then yes, you do have both his own and his family's. So you still have the question. Vaha Tanya, and indeed we learn in a Braisa accordingly. Rashi explains over here, as he always does, whenever we have Vaha Tanya being as a statement, Benichusa, that it means the Gemara is saying it not as a question, but as a proof. Rebbe says that with a Cheresh, there's always Boshes. Shoita Einloi Boshes, and a Shoita not. Cotton, Palmim Yeshloi, Palmim Einloi, and as far as a cotton, it's going to depend. Hard michlulameu michlam. One case when we say that there is boshes to be paid to a cotton would be where he's old enough to understand what the embarrassment is. Vahad michlulameu v'lay michlam. And the other one is where he's not old enough to comprehend what boshes is yet. And even you mentioned to him something in his past, he's not going to be embarrassed by that. So therefore, so that would be the distinction. So that would be the distinction. So the Gemara has kind of left open the question about Bisha Yoshin Umes. The Gemara has said that the Gemara has shown that the proofs we tried to bring to it one way or the other are not really proofs one way or the other. On the other hand, Tosfos brings a girsa that says that Tosfos brings a girsa from a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Rav Shecha said as a fact Bisha Yoshin Umes Chayav. So Tosfos doesn't like that Girsa. Tosfos doesn't like that Girsa. However, fine, the Gemara is not bringing Rav Shecha's thing because the Gemara wants to try to prove from a Mishnah or a Braisa or something. In the end, though, it comes out that Tosfos says it does seem, the Gemara does conclude that he would in fact be Potter. So Tosfos is saying the Gemara is concluding that he is in fact Potter. And then the Pnei Yeshua says why that is, because once we're saying that the question is his own boshes or the boshes of his family, but if we say that if it's a matter of the boshes of the family, there'd be no difference whether he was asleep and died or not. The fact that we're saying that there is that distinction indicates that in fact we go according to his own boshes. Therefore, he's Potter because he never ended up finding out about the boshes.
But it wasn't. But later on, he
was. He died. He never woke up to find out about it. If he didn't die, then before that, the Mishnah had said, "I'm by just a Yoshin Chayim." So yeah. What about Chum Tumah and Rogan? There's still a person. I'm by just an Isha. There's still a person that's still Chayim. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And but we said the post before that the wife grabs the private parts of a person.
Yeah, yeah. So
Chum Tumah is not going to apply.
Yeah. No. Because The pasuk is giving there as an example. You have it as an example. I mean, obviously, the same thing would be if a man came over and if the guy's brother came over and grabbed the mevushav as well, it would have to be the same din. The pasuk is mentioning the same thing. There would be chayv and boshes. There would be chayv and boshes. The Gemara, the pasuk is just giving a typical example. Okay, so fine. It wouldn't make a difference. Boshes applies equally to a man or a woman.
But we're saying that you have to cover.
Yeah. Again, cutting off his hand is mostly meant as a metaphor. Mostly it's meant to mean that the mazik has to pay money for the boshes. Right. To a certain extent, we do use it as that it means the hand is cut off when we're talking about when the person is a roidif, when he's endangering the other person's life, then you have an obligation to try to stop him by cutting off or wounding one of his limbs if necessary. That's a secondary meaning of that pasuk, but primarily that pasuk is teaching us about the concept of paying for boshes. The same way as earlier in the Perek, the Gemara had discussed, that ayin tachas ayin doesn't mean you put out his eye for putting out the other guy's eye. The same way, because katsoi says kappa does not primarily mean you cut off her hand. It means that she has to pay money from her hand to the guy that she caused boshes to. But secondarily, it also means if she's holding on tightly and there's no way to get her to let go except by cutting off her hand, then you cut off her hand in order to save the guy's life. So it's both.